Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join the madness.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 728. Simon has been a good, kindly soul to keep us in questions to carry over and cover our asses on this long road trip. Thank you for sending them in, Simon. We really appreciate it. Today, you happen to say,
I recently came across the don't indent the first paragraph rule, which I'd never heard of, but seems to be a strongly viewed one. I've certainly never noticed a book having indented first paragraphs, assuming I've read some that do. And it turns out that vellum does that for me anyway. But what are your thoughts on that rule?
I like it. I also like drop caps and small caps and other things that set the first paragraph of a section apart. But this is actually more appropriately a question for the typographer in the team. So, Kitty, please share with us your thoughts on text layout, first paragraphs, and how to make things look beautiful.
I don't have much of an opinion on what should be done. We do different things for different series, and we do them differently because I like the way they look. We use drop caps in most of our paperback editions, and only for chapter openers. For chapter openers in a paper edition, we do drop caps or some other kind of stylization. In the first paragraph of ebooks and first paragraph after a break, it'll be small caps for the first...
Was three or four words?
About three or four words.
20% of the line, right?
Yeah.
I think it helps the reader have a sense of occasion, like an extra visual marker that, okay, your mental voice needs to shift here, either because there's been time pass or a perspective change or something like that.
There's this whole list of things that you do to cue the reader that you have a new chapter. That includes stuff like how you space the chapter number and title, how you space that apart from the opening paragraph, how you style the opening paragraph, whether you use drop caps or no indent, or on a print book, how you do the page numbers or not on the opening page. You do a lot of things at the beginning of a chapter to cue the reader that it's a new chapter. Time has changed, setting has changed. Perspective has changed, something has changed, and the reader needs to know that.
But it's not just information communication. I mean, like, so we've got, like, 8 editions of Lord of the Rings, right? We've got some really beautiful ornate ones, and we've got a really old paperback copy that has almost no stylization at all. And you've looked through the different ones, and some of those old... And we've got a lot of old, like, Dell paperbacks that are just blocks of text. I mean, there's barely even any leading in them or anything. Could you talk a little bit about what effect the different page design has on the reader's experience? Because that's what it's all about, right, is the reader's experience and controlling the reader's experience.
The stylization helps set the mood, and it gives a sense of occasion. We stylize our mysteries differently than we stylize our fantasy and science fiction. We style the short story collections differently, and we stylize those differently depending on which collection it is. There's all these minor little differences. In addition to giving the reader information about we've changed something here, it's also mood setting and a space finding. It's like, you know, they say that if you walk through a room, you'll forget things. The portal effect. I think picking up a new chapter does that a little bit for the reader. I mean, it doesn't force them to forget the rest of the book. We don't want them to do that. But actually, when I pick up a book, even if I've finished halfway through a chapter, I'll skip back to the beginning of the chapter that I was halfway through because it resets. It helps me catch up to what's going on.
As you're saying this, I'm thinking... In Appalachian Spring, for example, this happens in all classical music, but Appalachian Spring is the one that's in my head because I've just been around someone who listens to it nonstop, by Aaron Copland. The meta theme, as it, you know, all classical music runs on themes, dun 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 dun. And when it comes into a new movement about halfway through, instead of doing the theme like that, it goes dun 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 dun. And that kind of rest really grabs your attention in a way that the flowing theme before it doesn't. And as you're talking about this, I'm thinking that those breaks, the visual markers and the breaks, they refocus your attention as a reader.
Yes.
Yes. Also, it helps you find your place in the book. That's a lot easier to find your place in the book by looking at chapters. Like in dog ears. It's better than dog ears. Chapters better than dog ears.
Well, in our case, dog ears always come with a tennis ball plopped on the page and a big smile. She's worse than the cat, man, I swear. The dog, I mean, not kitty.
Okay, I think we're done.
Okay, we're getting punchy. Well, let's go get punchy on another question. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.